Salam, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Unfiltered. I'm here today, me, Maz, Nazish, and Hannah. We're coming at you guys with a topic that's talked a lot about, and I guess particularly the South Asian versus Arab communities. That's like the main discussion point, and then also just in general. It's a pretty hot topic, but I think just to start, so it's Zabiya versus non-Zabiya, what we eat. And I think I want to context this first before we go into anything. Honestly, a lot of this is just expressing our opinions. It's not a us versus
debate,
them, right?
Yeah.
That's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be more of like, hey, like, you believe that, that's awesome. This is what we believe, this and that. This is what we think. And it's a cool discourse and something, I guess, entertaining for you guys to listen to. And let us know what you guys think of the discussion. And I think also it's important to reference that, like, there is a lot of stuff that we all do in our personal lives that we can improve on, right? And I'm not going to guarantee it, but I think a lot of us could improve on a lot of different aspects, and our judgment's not going to come down to whether we ate Zabiya halal meat or
It doesn't make you a better Muslim.
Right. It doesn't make you a better or worse Muslim. Nothing like that. This is literally entertainment. We're doing this because we want to talk about this. It'll be an enjoyable topic to talk about.
I mean, not even just entertainment. This is education, right? Like, this is something that we ourselves, like, are being a part, like, coming a part of the Muslim community, right? Like,
right.
Being in, like, a masjid environment. Like, for us, my main experience, or, like, even talking about Zabiya and non-Zabiya with, like, a scholar, with someone that actually, like, knows knowledge, was in MEC, right, with Imam Ibrahim, right,
yeah.
before he left. But so, like, that's a whole other aspect here, right? Just educating yourself, and that's what we're trying to do here today, right?
Yeah, I mean, also, like, if you want to dive deep into, like, the religious rulings, this and that, like, there's so many different specifics you could get into and so many different opinions and thoughts. Definitely recommend watch some scholars talk about it.
Ask some scholars,
listen to them, understand the perspectives, right? But I think this is going to be more of like what we think based on us hearing all those opinions. Like, where do we stand? How do we feel about the topic?
Yep. So do you guys want to open up like what like you guys do, like
why don't we start off with like defining what Zabiha is and all of that? So I guess we could get into that, the difference between Zabiha and halal meat.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much not any meat, but most of the meats are halal, right? Like chicken or any other red meats. But what makes it Zabiha and acceptable for certain people to eat it is the slaughter of the animal itself.
And we can define what Zabiha is too for people that don't know. Zabiha is the slaughter of an animal unto which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and the intention of killing it in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made before its slaughter. And Zabiha, the way that it's slaughtered, is there's a certain set of rules that ensure that the animal feels as little pain as possible. And if Zabiha is done properly, the animal should actually not feel its death at all. And some of those rules are, for example, when an animal is to be slaughtered, you are not to show it the slaughter of other animals. The knife that is cut is supposed to be sharpened right before each slaughter. You can't use the same knife to cut another animal, otherwise that makes the second animal non-Zabiha. And so there's like a number of rules that make meat qualify as Z or non-Z.
Through like the jugular, right?
The
like
jugular vein, yeah. So mm-hmm. that's supposed to, you're not supposed to sever the spinal cord when
mm-hmm.
you cut.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things, right?
Saying bismillah,
like,
right?
Machine,
bismillah,
and then
yeah.
there's also like the whole debate on like machine cut versus hand soldered. There's whole like saying
or
bismillah.
Sunburns, like.
There's the whole like being people of the book versus being Muslims that do the slaughtering and this and that, right? There's all these specifics you could get into. I guess as young Muslims, right, living in America, a lot of the meat that we see here today is not all quote unquote Zabiha. It's not a Muslim slaughtering it. And it's more chains like Burger King, McDonald's,
yeah.
Taco Bell, whatever else it might be, right? Mm-hmm. Dave's Hot Chicken recently has been popular because of this, right? Where do you guys stand individually? Where are you guys at on like the scale? And I think a lot of it probably stems back to our families too and what they believed in. We kind of like just
mm-hmm.
took that in as we went. But then I guess as we've learned more about it, like where do we stand on that?
Where do we stand on like?
Like, are you like full on Zabiha halal?
Oh,
like
yeah, yeah.
different knife for every time, like,
yeah, yeah,
et cetera,
okay.
et cetera.
I grew up eating non-Zi and I still eat non-Zi to this day. My family, so my mom.
When you say non-Zi, you mean like everything, right?
Not,
or is it like,
like everything as in like meat?
Yeah, as in like you'll like.
I mean, I won't eat pork, right? But like,
I mean, I'm saying out of like the halal food, right? Like,
yeah.
Like you'll go to McDonald's, you'll go to Burger
yeah.
King. Okay,
I'll go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
I'll get
is there
a big
like
chicken
a half
Z?
I don't know. That's what I was asking.
That's what I'm trying
I know
to understand.
People that,
what is half
no, no. I like I
I've heard about
talking about
actually.
Like you're talking about like of like hand slaughter, right? Like if I would eat that or not.
No, there's actually
that's
a,
half Z.
There's people that are like, oh, like I'm the Zabiha, but I only eat chicken.
Yeah,
like,
I've chicken. Heard that. I've heard like that's where actually, you can't eat beef, you go red meat or something. Yeah. Where, and there's a whole like, opinion on that too.
There's like a whole opinion on that. And you can get into that. I really don't think like if you're going to eat zabiha or non-zabiha, commit to it. There's no halvesies in something like this because I don't think that slaughtering a chicken makes it any more different than...
Yeah, well, there's a lot of like rulings.
Yeah, there's just no specific. Yeah. Like, there's nothing about that one. But is that what you were asking?
No, I was just asking like if, when he says he's non-Z, because like people consider like people eating like for example, your opinion of eating McDonald's or Burger King, etc. Mm-hmm. Right? That could be considered zabiha in a certain context, right? It's not necessarily that it's one's more zabiha than the other. Like they're all
Wait, in what context though? Like what I'm trying to understand. What
you like mean, people right? that think like okay, like for
like example, if it's like, halal, it's zabiha. Like that's a, like
that's what people say.
Oh, exactly. Well, see, actually, that's like its own distinction. Like,
that's what I'm saying. It gets
a very
in a lot
big
of,
difference, actually. Like just to clarify, people often like they use the word zabiha and halal interchangeably, but they are not interchangeable at all. Yeah. Halal is the opposite of haram, and there's a certain set of meats that have been like decided as haram. For example, any meat like from a carnivorous animal is haram. You can't eat anything besides the meat from an animal that's an herbivore. Any bird that has like talons, like for example eagles, falcons, those birds are haram. Any sea animal, this one's like a big matter of debate, like whether shrimp counts as insects or not. Like, so any sea animal that does not have scales is considered haram. Like an animal that feeds on another animal or human being's species becomes haram if it didn't eat anything else. Like there's a lot of things that make it haram. An animal that's already dead, for example, haram. You can't eat like roadkill, that's haram. So the opposite of haram is halal. So any animal that doesn't fall into these categories, the last one is insects. So any insect except for locusts, which if you're eating insects, it's questionable on its own.
I don't know what a locust is.
Locusts, they're like those big, like they're like cicadas almost, and they're found like in like a lot of like warm climates. Those are halal for whatever reason. Oh. Yeah. So if you guys ever want to eat a locust, go grab a bite.
I'm down. Let's do it.
But so any animal that doesn't fall into the realm of those animals is considered halal. The biha is its own thing where it's slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the specifications that have been found in ahadith and in the Quran, and that makes it dhabiha halal. Right. So again, like there's like this distinction between it halal versus dhabiha halal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I was asking. I guess zooming out a little bit, I was just asking, like, do you follow the halal? Like in America, Muslims classify like I eat halal or I eat dhabiha halal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say I eat halal.
Okay.
Right?
Like, yeah.
So like for me, it's mainly because my mom was Catholic and my dad's Muslim, right? So growing up, my dad never really enforced it because he felt that if we were going to my mom's side of the family, because with my dad's side of the family, everyone's like everything that we eat is zabiha. Even in our own house today, right? Like everything that we buy, all of our meat's always halal, right? Just because we're feeding other people that are halal, that only eat zabiha halal, right? Like people from my dad's family that come over and stuff. But when we go to my mom's side of the family, he didn't want for us to like turn down their food. So that was one thing that a part of why like we grew up not eating Z. And then as I kind of got older and like I kind of just continued that path, right? And then I myself wanted to like get educated on the topic, right? So I would talk to different people, look up different stuff. And for me, it was just such a big question. And like I've talked to some people who were saying like, or some scholars or imams that would say like, yeah, you should. Or like, and then some that would say, you know, not necessarily, you don't have to. And then, you know, we'll go into like the details of like the Quran and like the different hadiths and stuff. But because of that, I think that's why I kind of, you know, kept it going, because for me, it's too big of a question right now. And I think it's right. Since there's no definitive answer, we can't say like one is right or one is wrong. Like I that's why I kind of just kept on going with what I'm doing and not changed, I guess, my ways. But
so I'm like in the same boat of you. Like my family, again, you can come to my house and be the biha and be completely assured that you're only going to eat the biha meat in my house. You know, like we make our bi-weekly trips to like Sahar meat market, you know, and like we make sure like we'll pay like no matter the price for the biha meat, like we'll eat it, you know, at home. But at the same time, like if I'm going to sit here and say we don't go to McDonald's, like that's just not the fact of the matter. Like we go out to restaurants, we eat the meat there. It's not like an issue for, it's like it's a really big non-issue. In fact, like my family is really big on the idea, like at the end of the day, like the biha meat versus non-biha meat, it's like it's not going to be the defining factor that's going to send you to heaven or hell. And so it's just one of those Islamic things that's not top priority for us when we're talking about Islam and what makes us a good Muslim or what makes us a better Muslim. And so, yeah, we don't eat dhabiha when we go outside. We eat meat, so obviously we're not, like, munching on pork or anything, like you said. But, yeah, like, we'll eat out from other restaurants, but we try as much as possible. And I don't really think that we bring home food or meat in our house that we cook that's not dhabiha. unless, like, again, like, we're bringing food from, like, another restaurant or something. So for me, the reason why is my family does not eat the biha. My parents don't believe that you have to eat the biha meat. Like, they both actively eat, like, from restaurants and all. And just looking at, like, my own madhab, like, I'm, like, a Maliki Muslim. And, like, Imam al-Maliki did not have a big thing on whether you're supposed to eat the biha meat or not, like, in his time. Like, he did not really talk about it and say, like, we have to eat the biha meat only. And just from, like, my own personal research and all, like, I follow, like, the ideology. And we are going to get into this, for example, like, people of the book. We live in mainly Christian country. Like, some people can argue America is secular, but when you look at it statistically, like, we are a majority Christian country. And then the second biggest population is Jewish. So as a country, we, like, a majority of, like, the people here are considered people of the book. And so then you have those ayahs that say the meat from people of the book is the meat that you're allowed to eat. And then you also have, like, secondary to that, when people say, like, meat becomes haram when people that are from the book slaughter with their own name, with their own God, as, like, intended for the slaughter. But then again, then you have, like, the thing, well, okay, like, a farmer in Indiana is not cutting these sheep, like, on his own, saying, like, in the name of Jesus, like, that's just right. Not how meat is being cut anymore, you know, because right. They're not being, like, held as offerings. So that's, like, my family's viewpoint and my individual viewpoint on dhabiha versus non-dhabiha. And, like, the main reasons why, like, I don't really care to go out of my way to, like, make sure that I only eat the biha. But at the same time, like, if I know that I can make a safer option at home and then I can go and pay a little more at Sahar Meat Market to get the biha at home, then that's what I'm going to do.
I eat strictly the biha. Like, at home, we've always have. We used to actually live in Georgia, and it was, like, this really, really small little city right by the Florida-Georgia borderline. And it was... To get dhabiha meat, it would be, like, a weekly trip. We had to drive, like, 3 hours to Atlanta every single week and go and get dhabiha meat, you know, stock up for the week, bring it back home. Yeah, so bringing that, like, to here in Chicago, we've just always eaten strictly dhabiha meat.
All right. I guess before I talk about myself, I actually really like what you said. You mentioned, like, and I guess this is kind of where I land, too, in the same spectrum, like, If a more strict and, I guess, quote unquote, guaranteed option is out there, why not? Like, that's kind of where I lay. Like, I'm not, and it's not like, so for example, my family grew up dhabiha, as majority of South Asians are, like, Desis, Muslim, grow up dhabiha, strict. Like, we won't pray our five namazes every day, but we'll have the most dhabiha meat you could possibly have in your household, right? Like, it's like that, hand slaughter, this and that, all that, right? As I grew up, I started doing a little bit more research on my own, and, Imam Ibrahim talked about it here at MEC. I've watched some YouTube videos. Yasser Qadhi is a great resource too. And then you could, like, hear about the madhabs and their beliefs, and it's all valid. It's all, like, it's not like, oh, if you're non-Zabiya, it's haram. Or if you're Zabiya, it's haram. They're all valid. They all have their viewpoints. For me, it's like, if I see an option out there for Zabiya meat, and alhamdulillah, in Chicago, we have a lot of option for Zabiya meat. I'm like, if I could just go a little bit out of my way to have Zabiha meat and just be safe in the back of my mind, knowing that this won't be the factor that decides heaven or hell for me, then, like, why not? So that's kind of the viewpoint I have. Whereas, like, if I lived in the suburbs of Georgia way out and that wasn't an option, I'd reconsider, because, like, I don't want to deteriorate my life, like, if I don't have access to Zabiha meat. Like, okay, people of the book, this and that. And I guess talking a little bit more about that, there's, like, the people of the book ayah in the Quran, but then there's, like, the previous ayahs that talk about, like, you have to say it in the name of Allah and then this and that, right? And then people talk about, like, since this came after, do you disregard what came before, or do you bring it all together? And I'm more of the viewpoint of, like, just because one came after the other one doesn't mean that the other one is invalid, but more of, like, let's just listen to all of it and see what, like, what the best we can do is. So that's kind of, like, my stance on it, and that's kind of what I've gone, or my thought on it since listening to all the scholars talk about it, etc.
I do have something to say on that. The whole amendment, like, to an ayah of the Quran, people are always like, oh, if it came afterwards, like, does it, like, amend the first one? But this is not an argument that people have with, like, another instance that happened where, for example, we were allowed to drink alcohol before, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released an ayah that amended that and saying, actually, no, because people were praying drunk, and he did not want to face people in an altered mind state. But no one argues that, you know? Yeah. Or the same thing when you look at cigarettes and smoking. Like, at first it was considered, like, halal, and then, like, more things where, for example, Muslims, our bodies are borrowed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only our soul is our own. So our bodies are supposed to take as best care of them as possible. We're not supposed to do things that alter our mind state. We're not supposed to do things that purposely and intentionally harm ourselves. And so from that distinction, a lot of imams were like, oh, actually, I think cigarettes are going to be haram now, or Because again, like that's something that's actively damaging. We see in the evidence, right. Like there's, it's like damning evidence, you know?
Right.
And then there's still people that argue like, no, it's makruh. And then there's people that are like, no, like it's haram. And makruh has its own word that it means mm-hmm. like not haram, but not halal either.
Like disliked, right?
It's very disliked, yeah. Exactly. And so people never make that argument like, oh, like it was amended. So maybe, I've noticed, unless it's something that's very personal to themselves, like the food mm-hmm. that you eat and like the inhalants that you like, put in your
right,
body.
Yeah, when it comes to your daily meals, that takes precedent for people in their physical lives and their dunya mm-hmm. lives over anything else.
And that's so interesting. So, yeah. You said also like people won't pray like their five like salahs a day, but then they'll have like only like hand slaughtered meat, and that's something I've seen so often. Like I'll meet Muslims,
which is fine. But it's not like, but if you're like bragging like I only eat zabiya meat but I'm not praying my five, then it's like, you know, right. Like, you okay, like why are you talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right, yeah, it should be a given. That yeah. So much like Muslims will do absolutely everything, but eating McDonald's was where they draw the line. Yeah. Like, whoa right. Like you eat McDonald's, like, and yeah. So like that's like the one thing that I've noticed about the zabiha versus non-zabiha like argument, and it's something that's so minute compared to like the other factors that determine our state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how pleased he is with us. But it's something that takes so much importance, and I think again it's because you're faced with having three meals a day, like that's right. Something very personal. It's something like you can't like escape eating in general, like vegetarian veganism like it's yeah. Not like the option everybody's taking, you know, like mm-hmm. meat is something yeah. That it's like very like widely eaten,
yeah.
And so I think that's where so much of like the discourse comes about it, because mm-hmm. It's so like personal to each person, like how they interpret the ayahs, because again, like, and it comes back to like an ayah from the Quran, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says inna khalaqnakum ummatan wasata, like, and I have created you an ummah that in moderation. Like there's a lot of gray areas in Islam that are not necessarily like this is haram and this is halal. Like obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say in the Quran like Chick-fil-A is haram, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then people are like, okay, you can argue, like people of the book, like Chick-fil-A brand itself on being a Christian brand. Like they're even closed on Sunday because Sunday is a day of rest in Christianity. Right. And so you look at that and you're like, this is very obviously.
Oh, sorry. I'm listening to everything Chris said.
I believe you. I believe you. It's good stuff. and so, like, this is a brand that very clearly brands itself on being, like, a Christian brand. So this is, like, evidently, like, people of the book. So then can you argue if you're Zabiha and you have this ayah that's, like, the amendment to the first couple?
Okay, hold up. I want to stop you with the whole amendment.
She's going at super speed.
No, I know. Definitely, like, I'm trying to process.
You guys have to put on half speed when you're watching this, all right?
I want to stop saying the word amendment. That's like, it's because a lot of people also will say like correction, right? But it's not really a correction. It's more of a clarification, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's not, it's more like that's, I literally talked to some people about that and they're like, you can never use the word correction. You can never say the word amendment because it's more of a clarifying, right? Like kind
and
of. It,
and it's divine at the end of the day.
Like, exactly, like, right.
You don't want to say that Allah's clarifying himself or correcting himself. Yeah. Like he shouldn't have to do any of that, right?
That's true. So what word are we going to use? Because you said not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not clarifying.
Well, I was going to say like, it's more of like, this came after the previous ayah, mm-hmm. right? And it, what a lot of scholars, like, scholars are like, okay, this might contradict the other ones, right? But in reality, it's more of like, I guess from my point of view, the more, like, when I look at it, it's more of like the previous ayah are there, and then this is like something in addition to it.
That's true. I see like, it that way, right? too. I don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
I don't think it's
mistakes.
A correction. I don't think it's an amendment. I think it's like, okay, we learned this, and this is just some additional info mm-hmm. about it, right?
Yeah.
In case you had a question about it, like, here it is. Here's a revelation,
that's
right?
That's good, yeah.
So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So I was going to ask you a
when
question,
you guys
actually.
Pick up, yeah.
I was going to ask you a question. You talked about Chick-fil-A, Christian, people of the book, etc., right? The thing that's interesting is because, let's say if it was, like, 30, 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I would have agreed that, like, probably most of the meat slaughtered here is people of the book, right? And there's the whole cutting in the name of God too that goes into it, and then is Jesus cutting in the name of Jesus considered cutting in the name of Allah because Jesus is not Allah, Isa alayhi salam is not mm-hmm. Allah, right? So there's all that, but then I guess in today's world, right, where like religion is kind of like on the back burner,
kind of lost,
and, like atheism's coming out, and even if people say they're Christian, are they practicing, etc., etc.? Like, do you guys really think that like a lot of butchers out there, I guess for American food chains, are people of the book,
that's what
per se, I, when they're slaughtering?
Well, Imam Rahim's point to this, I remember when we asked that question,
that's
right?
Majority Christian.
Yeah, he didn't say it's the majority Christian country. He said that the where this meat and stuff gets cut is from like rural areas,
yeah,
right? And these
yeah.
rural areas are predominantly, that's where those Christian. More Christian people come in, right? The more
right.
like actual like Christian, I go to church every
that's
Sunday.
That's also an assumption, right?
It is. A lot of this is based on assumption.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like
yeah.
we're doing a big leap, right?
Yeah.
A big reach for all of this.
Right.
But like at the end of the day, it's again, it just goes down to preference, I guess. But yeah, that's why even the whole thing, it's such a big question in itself, right? And like, it's kind of up to us to determine, like, you know, how we're gonna, you know, interpret that and, you know, go about it, right? So
I do know written in the Quran though is like it needs to be hand slaughtered. That's like, I feel like that's like a definite thing. It was said, and it's also in hadith too, that like it needs to be hand slaughtered meat has to be cut with a knife at the throat, right?
So, yeah.
And an animal cannot be tortured before death. So like, yeah, you see like retarded bullets and like shocks, and there's a lot of things I've heard and seen where like an animal will be dead before they even get slaughtered.
Yeah.
You know,
because
of all this stuff, right? You know what I've wondered a lot though? I don't know about this, but like in high school, they used to always make us watch those documentaries about like where the food came from, like these McDonald's or like Burger King or whatever, these food chains. And then all those animals were literally tortured. Like they showed those videos of those clips and everything of like the farm and how the farm life was, how these animals were treated. Like they were huddled in those areas. And, you know, that also affects the state of the animal too. Like it can also make it haram. So then that also I think is a factor, no? Because those animals are being like tortured. They're not treated properly. Like you said, they're probably even dead before.
Like what Ma said, it's like a leap of faith. Like assuming that all this stuff's
in
place.
The thing is, you also have to think about this. You're also assuming, right? That these people, that Zabiha is Zabiha, right? Like you have to, like that's, and there's been numerous times where like companies have came out where they haven't, where they, they claim that they are and people are believing it, right? You're doing that. But then at the same time, they're actually not. They're either, they were machine slaughtering and they didn't disclose that. And, or they said that they were like Hafsa certified or whatever, but they weren't, right? So like, that's another whole huge leap of faith where it's just like, I don't know. It's a lot of leap of faith that we're doing, right? And again, it comes to us where it's like, we don't really have a choice. We kind of have to, right? We have to follow these type of, you know, guidelines, whether it's, you know, if you believe Zabiha or not, you're believing or trusting in somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And I want to point the story that I read about, and Imam Rahim also mentioned this out, but in his speech, I guess. But he said that that the Prophet was given a sheep, right? The meat of a sheep. It was like the shoulder or whatever, but it was given to him by a Jewish woman, and he didn't question the meat. You know, he ate it because it was provided to him by a Jewish person, and you know, he ate that meat because, again, person of the book, and like it was poison. This is something that, again, just besides the point, but it was terrible. She poisoned him. Yeah, but the moral or the purpose of this was that he trusted that person because, and he ate their meat because he knew that it came from them, from the person of the book, right? Mm-hmm. A Jewish person. So I don't know. I don't know how we're going to interpret these things, but it's very, a lot of gray areas and stuff, but that's just a story that comes to my mind that I think about that. I'm like, wow, like, you know, if Prophet ﷺ was taking something, someone that, from a person of the book, and he doesn't know if they, he wouldn't know that, you know, if they said, you know, God or not on that meat when they cut it. He just knew that that person was Jewish,
right?
And I'm taking that, I'm eating that meat from them. So,
right.
I mean, I taking it from that, like, again, like, I think it always goes back to that one ayah, like, inna khalaqnakum ummatan wasata. Like, we are not, like, extremists, and we're not, like, lax either as Muslims. Like, it's very, like, our religion, the way that it's been crafted and the way that it's been presented for us to follow, like, it's very moderate. Like, there's a lot of leeway in some areas, and in some areas there's more strictness. And that's because, again, like, we're not, like, on either side, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes wasatan. Like, he likes the moderation. And so if I wanted to be, like, extremely picky, like, even, like, the Eid meat, like, I know you've got, like, maybe you guys have all been to farms before, and I think you can see the animals know in a lot of the situations, because they're slaughtering for like 100 families that day.
They'll put their heads down right before they get slaughtered because they know what's
coming. They're going to die. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, like, they do it and the animals can see. So if you wanted to be picky about that, that makes the meat no longer the biha. Even if you went to an Islamic,
wait, no longer Zabiha.
Wait, why would it not make it the biha?
Well, because an animal, part of like Zabiha requirements is that an animal does not see another animal being slaughtered. The animal should not know it's about to die.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that's one of like the requirements for Zabiha. So if you want it to be like really picky about it, and you want it to be like not like what's it like, you don't want to be like moderate about it, you'd be like, okay, well, this means Nazabiha, so you need to take my sheep all the way to the back, you kill on its own,
right?
You know,
but I'm sure they go, if that's the requirement, then, and that's how they're like certifying it, and they should be going about that
that's
that
true
way,
but
right?
I mean, maybe you've gone to the farms yourselves, because I know I have, and I've been, and when they're slaughtering for 100 families, like, they're not being as careful as they absolutely should be. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes down to like, in the time of like where it was easier to make Zabiha meat, like the world was not, or I don't want to say the world, but like we weren't living in countries and in like towns and villages that were as heavily populated as we are now. You know, like look at the Muslim population just in like Lincolnwood, for example. Lincolnwood's a huge like town. Look at that. Like, it's not, I think it comes down again to moderation, because when it comes to like machine slaughtered and like factory farming, like you, there's not like a lot of, I don't want to say like farmers are not working around the clock like to hand slaughter every single sheep. So you, again, you don't have that guarantee, because a lot for like efficiency and to keep these farms running, like they do take those options of like factory farming, but then they're like, they'll say like Bismillah and like they'll say Allahu Akbar and they'll like name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto it when like a machine cuts it.
Right.
You know? And so then again, that comes down to like how strict people are with their zabiha, and they're like, okay, I only eat hand slaughtered versus like, oh, I'll eat Dave's hot chicken, you know, because it's like branded as zabiha. And like it comes down to like personal preference. But I think again, like you always have to reference, like in my opinion, from the way that I like practice Islam, like I always reference that ayah where moderation is key. And I don't think that it's good to be either too lax and like not like sometimes I know people who eat something too and like they won't even ask like whether it's pork, whether it's like they'll just eat it, you know. And that's like its own like far right extremist, like. And then you have people like all of the way on the left who absolutely, like there's people like I know family who absolutely will not eat meat unless they cut it themselves, you know. And I think like, okay, like props to them for going out to Indiana like every 2 weeks, but like I don't know if I'm doing that one, like,
right?
So yeah.
And I feel like if you have the ability, right, and you and your intention is pure, and just go with that, right? I mean, everything's laid out to you. You have it written in the Quran, and you could see it for yourself. You have the hadith in front of you. You look at that, and you make your best judgment as an individual, because everyone practices Islam, right? And Islam is perfect, and we're not, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it comes down, a lot of it, all this ambiguity that's around it, I think it's for us to find the scholars that we trust, believe in theirs, whatever they say, and to go with it. And that, I think the bigger thing out of all that is that, like, that shouldn't break ties among brotherhood and sisterhood, yeah, and among like our community, right? I've seen like only non-Zabiya people hang out with each other and only Z people hang out with each other because they're going to a specific restaurant, right? Or like something like that. And I think like I'm also guilty of this. Like I'll roast my friends and be like, oh, you're eating non-Z today, right? But it's as a joke. But at the end of the day, it's like they probably feel a certain way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, growing up like that sways a person, right? Even like it's like, you know, you know that you're non-Zabiya, right? And like you like know that's other most, like even like, let's say like you're in school, right? And like mm-hmm. they have like lunch or whatever growing up, or like, and then you see yourself like eating like a non-Zabiya sandwich, but you see another Muslim that's not, and then they, you know, they question you, and then it's just like you feel bad, right? But it's like it's your own beliefs, right? It's what you want to do, right? So,
right.
I think the point to that though is to have these sort of conversations. It definitely lessens the divide between Muslims. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that's just a really big prominent thing that separates a lot of us, especially in this community. That they, like you said, that they, the South Asian community with like the Arabs. So I think it definitely is important to keep. Just keep learning, just whatever it is, just have information, whatever it is, just know. So then you're actually able to have these sort of conversations and understand why another person chooses that route. And it just makes us less judgmental at the end of the day.
And on Nazish's note, to practice tolerance, I think like Muslims are so guilty of being so intolerant to each other. Like I understand why non-Muslims look at us and they think like those people are extremists, like they're so hard and they're this and that, because as Muslims we don't make it easier on our brothers and sisters for a lot of the mistakes that we all commit. Like a lot of the times you'll see, like again, like as Maz talked about, like even at MCC, like I was at MCC and people were telling me, like, oh, you eat McDonald's, like, that's haram, like, you're going to Jahannam, like, you know. And, like, I had, like, teachers
that don't know any better.
They don't know any better, you know. But, I like, and then I had, like, teachers who should know better that are, like, zabiha or nothing, like. And I'm, like, how are you going to, like, tell that to the kids that don't do that? Like, what, you're creating, like, this divide between what they believe and what their parents believe versus what you believe. And you're telling them, like, you're wrong for what you believe. And so, again, I think as Muslims, like, we should always try to practice more tolerance, especially in things that there is discourse around. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, like, he who has even a mustard grain's worth of arrogance in his heart will not see, like, the doors of Jannah, you know? And I think that pride and arrogance do play a big role in that. I think I'm better than you because I eat a certain way versus when in reality, that's just not the case. And, again, like, our sins are our own sins, and I think we choose to commit the sins that we choose. And if you genuinely, with everything in you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does believe in intention and he's not going to punish you for your ignorance, if you've seen the evidence that's been laid out for you and you believe, I don't think it's haram to eat the biha based off of what I've seen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish you if he actually meant by, like, the ayahs you revealed, like, oh, you're supposed to eat the biha. Right. If you truly believe based and you have the intention of, this is genuinely, like, how I perceive it, you're not going to get punished for it. But if you have, like, that sneaking suspicion, like, you know, like, Subway just came out with, like, oh, like, their tuna has traces of pork. Man. Like, and if I know that now and I go and I eat, like, and I and I know I shouldn't be eating tuna from Subway anymore because it has, like, that assumption, like, oh, there because might be, because you know. Yeah. Exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely
stay away from anything like that. That's questionable. That's, exactly. like, the general rule of thumb, yeah. right?
It's like going to places where you should be confirming, like, if you're, like, you should be confirming that, oh, like, are you mixing your meat with,
yeah.
like, yeah. It's so like my one uncle, right? He owns a Brown's Chicken. And he uses a different fryer for his zabiya chicken and his non-zabiya chicken.
We see that too. When we
but that's the thing. Like, are they doing that at restaurants? Are they doing?
I know McDonald's not doing that with their fries. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Exactly. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be so picky to judge zabiya and non-zabiya, but then we'll go have fries from McDonald's and not question it. That's when it's exactly, in the same exactly. oil, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, just like stuff like that.
Red Lobster is very big. Like, they are not, like, they cook all their food on, like, a flat top, or if you go to any of those places that
flat
cooks
top grill
in
general,
you,
yeah,
like, they are not scraping it between meats. Like, it's really co-mingling on there, like the pork, the mm-hmm. zabiha, the non-zabiha. So you, again, comes down to, like, umatan wasata, like, yeah. it's moderation. You can't be too, I'm not eating anywhere but my own home with, like, the food that I hand slaughter, because that's how I see it.
You could you don't have to,
but you don't have to, right. because, again, like, umatan wasata, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I actually want to touch on what you said about the restaurant thing, because back in Georgia, we used to have a restaurant too. We had, like, a little Dairy Queen because it was, like, really big there. And even my own parents, before giving us, like, those fries or whatever, they would change the oil. Like, I would ask, like, oh, can I have some fries? They're like, no, we didn't change the oil this time. Like, next time you can have it. But yeah, I mean, it really just depends on, like, how right. far you're yeah. willing to go.
You know what's interesting? A lot of these places, like, I went to this, like, flat top grill type of place in by Cedar Point. I forgot what it's called. But you could actually ask them to, like, make a whole, like, clean it before they make yours, and they'll actually
do it.
So, like, a lot of these places, like, if you guys don't know, like, if you ask, a lot of the time they'll actually accommodate for you, unless it's, like, maybe, like, a big fast food chain, like a McDonald's drive through, for example. Mm-hmm. But, like, a lot of these places, like restaurants and stuff, you could ask, and I don't think it hurts to ask. Like worst too. Case scenario, what are they gonna say? No, and then yeah. you just don't get it. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, a lot of the stuff you could ask, but you also should do your due diligence and ask, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You shouldn't be like, oh, like. Moderation, I'm not going to ask, but you should also ask. I think that's also important. And if the opportunity is there, you should. Like, and then there's, like, the whole debate on, like, if a restaurant says there's a BIA, but then their certification's expired, and you look into it, and as you said, there's, like, a big leap of faith and a lot of guessing, and how much investigation do you do, or do you just take their word? There's, like, a lot of opinions about that too, right?
See, then there comes, like, the moderation again. Like, you can choose how.
If they say there's a BIA, is it on you if you eat their meat and it's not zabiha? Is it on you if you don't do your due diligence and super research it? Is it on you if you don't go to the farm and see it with your own eyes? Like, there's a lot of levels to this, right?
And then just remember again, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never hold you accountable for what you don't know, you know? Right. So, again,
unless you go out of your way to purposely not know something.
Is everything halal until proven haram? In Islam, yes. Unless explicitly said otherwise. Mm-hmm. In Islam, like, there's not a lot of, like, oh, like, this could be haram, so don't do it. If it's not said that it's haram, it's halal. Right. Like, that's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has crafted Islam for us. So, again, like, for meats and stuff like that, when you know, as long as you're not eating amphibians and you're not eating, like, a fox, I don't know, like, you know that those meats, yeah, like, those are,
frogs.
Like, frogs, amphibian frogs, yeah. For those things that you know are explicitly haram, as long as you're not eating them, at least you can be safe in the guarantee that you're eating halal,
right,
you know? You're not eating haram. So again, like, there's, like, that distinction again, like, whether a meat is zabiha halal does not make it haram if it's not. You know, it's still halal at the end of the day, but then how halal you make it is how you choose to eat your meat.
I think that's a good place to wrap up. This is a good conversation. I think in the beginning I said it was entertainment for that reason, because after this everyone's gonna go on with their lives and be missing prayers, be backbiting, we'll do this, we'll do that. Like, we need to focus on that stuff before we start talking about, like, and waging wars about zabiya and non-zabiya. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a good conversation, though. It's interesting to hear everyone's perspectives, and the more you know, right, educate yourself, learn as much as you can. But until next time, make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel, like the video, leave a comment, let us know what you think. Where's your stance? And hopefully this made some kind of impact on how you treat your friends and people in your lives that are either zabiya or non-zabiya. Yeah, salam.
Salam.